good afternoon, good evening, wherever it is that you're watching this. Welcome to The Harvest. We have had a wonderful time throughout the weeks listening to some inspiring stories from different folks that are in our community or other parts of the world that are ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ in different ways. The kingdom of God is expanding and God is on the move. The Holy Spirit is powerfully moving all across the face of this earth, and we're part of that. And today I'm so excited to have with us as our special guest, Donna Rudd, who is with Africa's Hope. And Donna, it is so good to have you with us today. Welcome to The Harvest.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah. Well, now we've known each other for quite a few years, and you've been involved in missions ministry for many years. And I would love for you to tell our viewers here today what it is that, how long maybe you've been in missions, who you are, kind of just introduce yourself to everybody as to what you're doing now. Just start wherever you would like and just greet the people, if you will.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you, and thank you. I have been involved in missions previously with Assemblies of God World Missions, and for about 7.5 years, and needed to be home for a while with, you know, family and health issues. And now I have a new assignment with Assemblies of God World Missions, and will be working with Africa's Hope, teaching and training leaders for the church, which is just my heart's cry. I've been so inspired by the Holy Spirit to the need for this kind of training, and it's exciting, it's challenging, and I'm really looking forward to this new assignment.
Wow. Well, I'd love to hear more about that assignment, but let me back up just a little bit and get a snapshot for our viewers as to what called you, what drew you to missions? I mean, you've been in missions for a long time. Tell us how that started.
I was raised by parents who were lay people, but believed in missions strongly. And all throughout my life, I've known the importance of missions. And once when I was helping my church with their missions program, I came across a newsletter from one of the missionaries that we supported, and he was a missionary educator. And he had a newsletter that was all printed on one side of a large piece of paper, and it could be put up on the wall as a poster. And he had put the names and little snippets of information of and pictures of the students in his recent class in Belgium. And the students were from all over the world. And I realized that this one missionary educator was able to reach far-flung areas of the world that he could not go to because he was reaching these students. One of the students had been at Tiananmen Square. Some of them had been at various places all over the world. And he was reaching the lives of those students who would carry the gospel to places that he could not go. And I saw the exponential potential that was included here, because they would carry the gospel further than he would go.
Sure.
And that, to me, was so amazing and so challenging. And so God has opened doors through that. And now I will be working alongside that same missionary with Africa's Hope. So
it's come full circle. So how old were you when you saw that that newsletter?
I was in my 20s, I believe.
Okay, so you're in your 20s, and you were. And by the way, as you were telling that story, I thought, well, we have at that same sort of display. We have missionaries that we support every month, and they send newsletters, you being one of them. And just to let you know that we take that newsletter, and certainly we read it, we pray over it, but we also display it along with all the rest of those, not unlike that display that you have behind you there, that have your missionaries that you're partnering with and praying over. But we put those newsletters out for people to, as they're walking by in the hallway, they can read the different things. And that's actually encouraging to me, Don. I appreciate you sharing that, because it helps me to know that as people are it's almost a passive, it's a passive approach, really, to something that might impact people for eternity. So, you know, I'm hopeful to know that as we have those things up there, the stories that people read as they're walking by, that it might inspire someone like it did you so many years ago to draw you into that heart and desire to call for missions. Now, you're doing Africa's Hope now, but back in your 20s and when you started your first itineration, what did you do then? And maybe you could flesh that out a little bit, and maybe you have some stories that you might want to tell of some things that have happened over the years.
I have served as a missionary associate in Cambodia. I have previously been a nurse. I felt God leading me into other areas later in life, but previously I was a nurse and served in Cambodia. I have served with our stateside with AG Assemblies of God World Missions, helping them from the stateside area. And I have also done some short-term missionary trips with my church. And then again, I worked in South Africa. I served there for about 7.5 years, not counting the itineration time in between. Yeah. And God just put missions in my heart. It's very deep there. And right. I don't know that I want to do anything else.
Yeah. Well, you certainly, I know you have a passion for missions. And every time I've heard you share at different places when we get together, it just runs through your veins. The souls, you know, souls for the kingdom. And I so appreciate your heart. Any stories stick out in particular of, you know, things that have happened in your years of outreach and missions work?
I believe the story about Dr. Gibbs, the one that I was telling you, and just how God has carried this through the years. The first I knew of him was that newsletter, and I saw that and was just taken by it. And that, along with what my parents' influence had been on me, I mean, I remember my dad telling me in so many words and teaching me deliberately about the importance of missions. And he was a layman. He was not a minister. But he believed in missions and believed that we needed to support missionaries. And he didn't live to see me become a missionary. And then, as I say, Dr. Gibbs' newsletter. And then years later, I would take a class with him on background and culture of the New Testament. And it would just explode in my brain how much that was so vital to understanding and his influence on my life. And then to find out when in discussions with AGWM that he was there and I might be working with him. And when we talked, it just seemed like a good thing. And he will not be the only one I work with. But it's like God telling me, these are the steps I have taken you through to carry you to this place. And I've just put him in these steps. I mean, he's just there. He's a very wonderful person. But the reason he's there is to show you that my hand has been in all of this.
Wow. And I love the exponential quality of what you're talking about. We like to support missions and missionaries that are that way. We, for example, support 4 students in Cuba, who is a big story, kind of a detailed story with that. But there's a lot of things going on in Cuba that are rules and structures, and you have to do it a certain way in order to be a minister. So we support 4 students there to go through their Bible school that they have there through Berean. And the exponential for that is like what you're going to be doing in Belgium. Is it Belgium that you're going to? Is that right? Or are you going to Africa?
Dr. Gibbs was in Belgium at one time.
Oh, okay.
But I am going to be working with Africa's Hope. And so I could be in various countries at different times, or I could be in the U.S. working with them there as well.
Oh, okay. Well, what I love about it, though, is that you're pouring into people who are then going to be pouring into thousands and maybe tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands over the period of their ministry life. And that exponential, you know, seed that's planted is just so powerful. And I'm so excited about that, Donna. That just thrills my heart to know that we can.
I like the term exponential potential.
Exponential potential. Yeah. That's almost like that conjunction, junction, what's your function sort of thing back when we were kids. Remember that? Yeah. Exponential potential. I love it. You said something just a few moments ago about your father. You've actually mentioned this a couple of times, that they were lay people. They weren't in full-time ministry, but the emphasis in the house, the emphasis in their lives, the example that they lived was one about believing in missions. And that inspired you. That spoke into your life. You couldn't get away from it. And it got in you, right? And so as you were speaking, it reminded me of that chapter in Hebrews, the hall of faith, the people that the Bible described that were faithful to do what they were called to do. And many of them, it said, never saw the results of their faithfulness. It kind of took a while for that to play out. And so for your father, he never saw you go into missions full time, but the seeds were planted. And there's a faithfulness aspect to that that we've all been called to. Donna, would you speak to that as to maybe some folks that are watching here today and maybe where they're feeling like, am I making a difference here? And you know, maybe encourage them in that way.
Well, having been back in the U.S. for a time, as I said, because of family and health issues, I have had opportunity to go back into the secular world and work in an ordinary job. And it has been a blessing for me because I've been strengthened and challenged in so many ways. But one thing that I was reminded of is the fact that the United States also is a very hard field sometimes. And it would be in my heart that everybody would be called to overseas missions. That's what I would like. But the reality of that is it's not going to be, because God has a heart for the U.S. as well. And so for the people who are listening, I would challenge them to pray about going overseas and give that completely to God. And if he opens that door, or if he challenges you to do it, do it. But if he has not challenged you to do that, I guarantee you, your mission field is the U.S., wherever you are, whatever job you are in. There are people who need to hear and see the Holy Spirit working through them. And in many cases in the States, it's so hard to speak to people. And there's a wall there, and it's going to take time and relationship and challenges and being with people and walking with people over a period of time before hearts can be softened and they can see the Holy Spirit working in you. That is just as important as going overseas. If God has called you overseas, that's where you need to go. But if he has not, then your mission field is where you are right now in the States, whatever job you're in, whatever grocery store you are in, that you shop in, wherever you are, that is where God has placed you to be a missionary.
Yeah, that's so good. So you have, for this time, because of your family and some health issues and all, have stayed in the United States for a period of time. You're getting ready to jump in back into Africa's Hope, as you've been talking about. But what you're saying to us is that in fact, you're going to be going to work later on. You have a job here. You're working a job in the secular world right now. In other words, you're doing what the vast majority of people are doing that are watching this. So you're not speaking from some sort of manual or book, or you heard it from somebody else. You're experiencing that. You're experiencing what you just talked about, where there's a hardness, there's walls, there's issues, and to kind of maneuver around that. So,
people,
you know,
people
are hurting, absolutely. And missionaries are being sent from other countries to the United States. So, you know, that's an interesting thought there, too. What sort of hurts are you experiencing when you say people are hurting? Can you give us an example or two of maybe some of the situations that you're dealing with and what you've been able to do to speak Christ into their lives?
I have found that you just can't come in with platitudes with people. Many people have been hurt, and a lot of times it's church hurt. It really is, and it's very painful. They've been hurt by family members, some unspeakable kinds of hurt, and it's broken my heart to see. And I've seen the walls come up as soon as I say anything, just trying to pull some little a seed into the conversation.
Sure.
There can be some pushback because they sense it. But yet, sometimes just living and working among them, there will be little things that they say that they know. And so my heart's desire, these are mostly women that I happen to be working with. And my heart's desire is they hear my heart and then they know. And even when I'm in another part of the country, they'll have my number and be able to call me if they want prayer or whatever. And it's a long road. It's not the short road. It's not the four spiritual laws and then you go from there, and they've been hurt in a lot of ways, and there's a lot of barriers that Satan has put, and it takes the Holy Spirit to break those down.
Amen.
It really does.
Amen. Oh, I'm so thankful for the discernment of the Holy Spirit that will help us to know what to say, what not to say, when to say it, and when not to say it. He'll give us all of those directives. The Holy Spirit is key because He knows exactly what's going on in their lives, right? And the hurt, all that baggage, all those walls, all that layer of sediment that has just brought them into a place where they're maybe cynical, they're jaded, they're hurt, they're bitter, all of those things. And we look at that as human beings and say, how can that be penetrated? But the Holy Spirit is able to penetrate even the hardest of hearts and even the greatest of hurts and the depths of deception in people's lives. So let's not give up, folks. As you're watching this, let me encourage you. There may be a person that you work with, a family member, a neighbor, somebody that seems to be the hardest of hard cases. But you think about the hardest of hard cases in the Bible. One of them that comes to my mind right at the top of my head is the Apostle Paul. He was a tough one to crack. But the Holy Spirit came in and totally revolutionized his life. So the point is, Donna, is that we're to be faithful, right, to the opportunities that God gives us. It goes back to that same old adage, you plant in water and God will bring the increase. Amen?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. Well, so the opportunities that people have to do ministry, it seems like what the Holy Spirit is telling us here today, Donna, is that certainly we bloom where we're planted, but there's a faithfulness aspect to this. And you can't look at face value as to what's going on, because you've got to know that the Holy Spirit is working and and seeping through the cracks and the different ways to get into people's hearts. And, you know, as we know, everywhere Jesus went when he was on the earth, he never left anywhere where things were not changed, where people were not changed and lives were impacted. And we are that Christ to those that are in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, even in our homes. So be faithful in that. Donna, tell us a little bit more about what Africa's Hope looks like for you. When are you going to be going back? You know, how can we find out some more information about this?
I am hoping to have the budget raised and everything to go back and go with Africa's Hope by the end of the summer. And what I will be doing with them will be with Dr. Gibbs. In fact, what I'll be doing with working along with him is some curriculum development. I'll be also working with PATHS Seminary, Pan-Africa Theological Seminary, which is also an Assemblies of God ministry, and it works hand in glove with Africa's Hope. And they train. Africa's Hope provides resources and curriculum and all everything in all the different languages, even curriculum for oral learners. They do all kinds of support to Bible schools overseas. And there's two new Bible schools that have just come in Cameroon and in another country as well. And they support those with resources. And PATHS teaches all over Sub-Saharan Africa in various different places on all levels. And PATHS generally, though, works all the way up to the doctoral level. And so it's a higher level of education. Africa's Hope works from the beginning and then assists all the way up through the higher education. And so working together, we'll be working with PADS and helping to teach perhaps, but also with some administrative help and that kind of thing.
You know, some people would listen to you and say, well, why do we need so much education? Why can't we just let the Holy Spirit just do his thing? And other people are listening to this saying, man, that's great. Education, that's really what we need. How would you speak to people maybe that are thinking the first part of this to say, well, why do you need to study so much? And why can't you just let the Holy Spirit do through you what he needs to do?
We can't do it without the Holy Spirit. His work works through us. Mm. But it's important that people know the Bible. That is the first word of the Holy Spirit. Mm. That is our first gift from him, is the word of God. And people need to know it well. In Africa, just as in the United States, so many people are vulnerable to unsound teachings and to things that are not biblical because they've interpreted the word of God wrongly. The word of God is open for anyone to read and available to anyone, and God can speak through it. But it is important to know it well, to understand, interpret it well, so that you can stand against wrong teaching. That's in Africa, it's in the States, it's everywhere. And it's important for people to know the word of God well, to teach it, and to carry it forward. And that's not something that certainly God can gift people as teachers, but even teachers who are gifted need to be trained in their gifting.
Yeah.
And that's with everything. Musicians who are gifted need to be trained in their gifting. And so we need to know the word of God well so that we stay in the right doctrine, right teaching, and also because that the Holy Spirit uses his people to teach.
That's so good. Yeah. And I appreciate you answering that question. I knew the answer, but we needed to just say it, you know, and you think about it. Actually, the first deception that took place was when in the garden, when Satan twisted God's word just enough to deceive Adam and Eve. And that's been going on ever since. Actually, he tried to do that with Jesus when he tempted him those three times. Does not God's word say blah, blah, blah? And then Jesus says, yes, but it also says this. So we need to know the word of God so that we won't be deceived, because that's one of the main go-to tricks of the enemy, of Satan himself. And the Bible says that even the very elect would be deceived if we're not careful. So man, to know God's word, and not just to know it for ourselves, but to know it so that when we are confronted with it, or when we have the opportunity to share it, or when we hear something that's amiss, that we can speak in a place of speaking the truth in love to correct and to encourage people and point them in the right direction as to truly what God's word is. So what you're doing in Africa's Hope is to rightly have the students rightly divide the word of God so that they're able to not only know it, but also defend it. It's called apologetics. It's that whole sense of, I'm going to defend God's word, not in an angry, hateful way, but in a bold and loving way to say, that's not correct. Let me tell you what God's word does say. And it just, boy, opens up the eyes of people that are walking in deception. So I'm all for this, and I'm so excited, Donna. It sounds like you're coming finally full circle to all the work that God has brought you through the years, and the ministries and the missions opportunities and all. It's like he's putting it all together. He's saying, okay, now I've allowed you to go through all that and all those experiences so that you can actually be the most well-rounded and fleshed out minister in this Africa's Hope now. You wouldn't have been ready 10 years ago or 5 years ago, but you're ready now. Does that sound accurate?
It does. It does. And God has opened these doors. When he opened this door, and I never expected it, and when the door opened for me, it was like God was saying, now. Because I was asking God, what have you got for me? Is this going to be what I'm going to be doing, you know, for the remainder of my life? And God, you know, spoke through this opportunity coming available. And it was as if he said, now, this is what I want you to do.
That's beautiful. I love, I'm so excited for you, Donna. I can't tell you how full my heart is for you today. And I know folks that are viewing are feeling the same way and can't wait to hear some stories about how the Lord uses you in this way and some great opportunities that you have coming forward and working with these students there. If you want to know, as you're watching this today, some more information about Donna and her ministry and the different things that are going on, you'll see below me a link to all of her information that you can click on. And there's some videos there, some other sort of things that that you can listen to and watch and really flesh out some more as to what's being what God is getting ready to do in Donna's life. But Donna, I would like for you, as people are watching here today, if you would pray for them. I think there's some people today that need to be encouraged to stay faithful, that they're living their lives before people and they don't even realize the influence that they're having, but they are making a difference. And maybe they're in a tough spot at home or at work where they're seeing that pushback, like you talked about in those experiences that we're having, where there's that hurt and jadedness and whatever is going on in people's lives, but that we would not be weary in well-doing. I think there's some people that we need to pray for today to just encourage them to stay faithful and to not be weary in well-doing. I'd love for you to lead us in prayer, if you will. And after you pray, I'd like to then pray all of us to pray for Donna as we wrap this up here today. Donna, would you lead us in prayer? And everybody, if you would, let's bow our heads right now.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for who you are and for your word and all that you have given us. And I thank you for the people who are listening to this and watching this video today. And Lord, I pray that you would work in the hearts of everyone listening. Lord, wherever you have put us in the moment that we are there, that is the place that you have called us to. And that opens so many possible doors of opportunity to speak into the lives of people that we come in contact with. Lord, I pray that wherever we are, whether it's overseas or whether it is in the U.S., in what some people would call an ordinary job, Lord, I pray that we would keep our hearts open and willing to listen to your voice and speak when we need to speak and to hold back and just be present when we need to be present. And Father, always to be available to people, to minister to them and to strengthen and encourage and draw them to yourself through what they see in our lives. Lord, make our lives to be pure and holy so that people can be drawn to you through that. Lord, let us not miss opportunities. I thank you for the people that are supporting me and have supported me and all the other missionaries. Lord, I pray that you would work in their lives to open doors and strengthen and encourage and challenge all of us to never miss an opportunity to reach someone for you. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name.
Lord, and I also thank you for Donna Rudd. And Lord, as we come together as the body of Christ, we lift her up to you right now. I pray, Father, that she would know the strength and the power that is in prayer right now, and that you would encourage her and strengthen her with this prayer, Lord God. And as we not only pray now, but continue to pray for her as she goes into this new field with Africa's Hope and the exponential opportunities that are there for growth as she ministers and does what she does to develop curriculum and work with the students. Lord, that these students will reach not just thousands, not just hundreds of thousands, but we pray that millions upon millions of souls will be impacted as a result of Donna's part in this endeavor to expand the kingdom of God. We pray that you would anoint her Holy Spirit. We pray, God, that you would give her favor. We pray, Lord, that you would provide for her and let her raise the support that she needs to raise and not worry about that. And God, that you would just use her and work through her to bring glory to the name of Jesus, to bring souls into the kingdom, to expand the kingdom of God, and let revival break out in these areas where these leaders that are going to be trained are going to be planting churches and ministering throughout the world. And we thank you, Lord God, that we're for eternity not going to be able to know the results until we get to heaven. But Lord, that we would be faithful, that we wouldn't be weary and well well doing, and that you would just use Donna, Lord God, as she's coming full circle to this, and you've prepared her for such a time as this, and that you would just honor her as she honors you. We pray a blessing over her right now. We bless you and thank you for her life and for the opportunity that you're giving her. May the doors fly open for her, and we pray against any attack of the enemy, any discouragement, anything that the enemy would try to put on her. We come against that in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Lord God, for the victory and the fruit and the joy that she's going to experience as she moves into this new season of missions and ministry. We praise you and ask these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, Donna, thank you for joining us today. We will be praying for you. And again, make sure you click on that link, and we're going to put it up there just one more time so that you can make sure you can write that down. And I want you to also do me a favor as you're viewing this. I want you to share this broadcast with other people of your Facebook friends. If you feel like it's going to minister to them in some way, all you got to do is just hit the share button and send it to your friends. And let's get some legs on this broadcast here today and encourage some other people to keep on keeping on and be not weary in well doing. Amen. So Don, again, thank you for joining us. We're going to be praying for you as you go and do your ministry with Africa's Hope. And I ask you, if you will, as you're viewing here today, to continue to pray for Donna. Now, until next time that we meet, we'll see you, and we want to thank you for joining us today on The Harvest. God bless you and have a wonderful day.